the new deal to extend the payroll tax cut doesn't include anything that affects your pay and benefits. There is bad news about it, though. And Meredith Shiner, a Senate reporter for CQ Roll Call, here to talk about what this extension means. Meredith, I guess the bad news is that we'll be doing all this all over again in 2 months, right?
Always the bad news about Congress these processes all the time. So, hey, good news is that it is the day before Christmas Eve. Lawmakers, staffers got to go home. The bad news is you're right. We're going to have to refight this fight, and there are serious issues that need to be worked out.
The challenge here, and it doesn't just have to do with the payroll tax cut. We talked about it last hour on the Federal News Countdown. Is we're looking at a timeline now between the beginning of January and the middle of next year to get a tremendous amount of things done just having to do with budgets and fiscal issues. Late January, State of the Union address by the president, beginning of February, budget requests roll out, and then late February, we're back to this payroll tax cut issue. In the March-April timeframe, we'll probably be looking at the debt limit issue again. The Federal Aviation Administration reauthorization will fall in there somewhere at some point. I believe it's
the end of January.
Okay, so that's on the schedule too. And we talk on this station from time to time about issues like cybersecurity legislation, stuff like that. When's anything like that ever going to get done?
So I think we'll take this piecemeal, right? The first thing is that this idea that they'll have 2 full months to work on doing a full year extension after doing the 2 month extension is a little bit misguided, because right now the House and Senate aren't scheduled to come back until the end of January. And as you pointed out, there are other bills that need to be done. The FAA authorization bill needs to be done by January 31st, or we'll be facing another FAA partial to full shutdown, which is obviously an issue. You need to work out the payroll tax extension. And one of the things that basically tanked the long-term deal last week was how to pay for this. And as you had mentioned in your tease, one of the things that had been considered was a 3-year federal pay freeze, federal worker attrition. Republicans had reportedly wanted to put cuts to Medicare beneficiaries. Democrats, of course, have been fighting for the millionaire surtax, which is one of the fights they dropped. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, after approving this new bill this morning, had mentioned that that's something that could potentially be back on the table. So that's a very complicated issue. And the other thing that's important to note is that because they could not agree on pay fors, they did not actually debate fully the substance of the extensions. And one of the things that's important to look at is the unemployment insurance benefits. Before, you used to have 90-plus weeks of unemployment insurance. Democrats, as part of this compromise deal, had cut about 20 weeks off of that, and Republicans, in their House-passed version, had been asking for even more, including other provisions like giving more autonomy to the states, allowing them to drug test for unemployment benefits, and also creating an unfunded mandate for GED acquisition for people who don't have their high school diplomas and are unemployed. So there was a lot of policy issues that had to be talked about and that haven't been yet and that will have to be soon. And again, you had mentioned that the president will have to give his State of the Union. And next year's 2012, that's an election year. Everything that was difficult now is going to be that much more difficult because it's going to be facing a national microscope and national issues and national Republican candidates for president who are going to be trying to run against Barack Obama.
And one of the things that came up on our discussion in the previous hour on the Federal News Countdown about budgets and so on, the question came up, what do we think of the possibility of not having to deal with CRs next year? And I said, I think there's zero possibility of that because of the situation in the chamber that you cover, the Senate, where Senator McConnell, I have a hard time believing that in August and September, Senator McConnell's going to be willing to say, yeah, we'll sign off on that, when the possibility exists that if he can just muddle through till December or January, he'll be in charge of that chamber and can really have a tremendous amount more influence in setting the agenda for the budgets for the agencies.
Well, the good news is that today the president did sign into law this quote-unquote megabus, which was the rest of the appropriation bills for this fiscal year. And instead of having to deal with doing 1 month and 2 month CRs multiple times throughout the year, which you had to do this year, that's not necessarily going to be the case for the next few months, which is an added bonus, right? Because this was something that the Congress found itself having to do once a month, once every other month for the entirety of this year. And it meant that particularly for your listeners or federal workers who were highly impacted by the government being able to be operational, those are things that they're not going to have to deal with quite some time. But one of the things that you did point out was the fact that it is entirely possible that the Republicans could take back the Senate. And also, you'll have a lame duck session in November and the beginning of December next year where they're going to have to deal with issues like the Bush-era tax cut. By the way, Bush-era taxes extended by President Barack Obama last year. And whether or not they're going to have to extend part of those, any of those, none of those, and it's going to be part of this huge year-end negotiation. And the complexion of that, we don't really know yet because we don't know who the presumptive presidential, I guess not even candidate, who the presumptive president will be.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would feel a little more optimistic, Meredith, about all of this if I had any indication that it wasn't going to be the same discussion about the same stuff over and over and over again. Obviously, the payroll tax cut is the debate will be similar in February to what it is now. But you listed kind of the laundry list of the issues of paying for this payroll tax cut extension. It's the same stuff the super committee couldn't come to agreements on. It's the same stuff that's been debated through just about every continuing resolution argument. And it's a lot of the same stuff that if you go back to the debt limit increase conversation debate back in spring and summer of this year, it's all the same stuff there.
Well, not only is it going to be the same issues and some of the same papers being talked about, if you look at the conferees, right, as part of the deal to pass this 2-month extension, Democrats had to name conferees for the longer-term negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these conferees are the same people you saw on the super committee.
Yeah.
Side, you see Representatives Umpton Camp, Senate Democrats, you see Senator Baucus. House Democrats, you see Representatives Becerra and Chris Van Hollen. I mean, you see a lot of the same faces and names, and you wonder, how are they going to tackle these arguments and debates differently than they did last time? And I don't know the answer, and my job is to be cynical. I'm a reporter. The bearer of optimism here. But, you know, you would hope that because, you know, the omnibus was taken care of, because apparently in their last-ditch effort to do a full-year extension, it was a $190 billion package approximately, and they had found somewhere between $105 to $110 billion in papers that they had agreed to, so they were more than halfway there. You'd like to hope, particularly because Republicans is very poorly politically on this. I mean, they had been winning the argument. They had turned Keystone Pipeline against the president, against Democrats, and then suddenly last weekend, Mitch McConnell, Harry Reid have a deal. They think they have a deal, and House Republicans just sort of say, no, actually, we don't want that. They spend a hugely, hugely difficult week dealing with the media trying to explain to the American people why they couldn't support this temporary provision. So it's not a great and politically salient argument for them right now. And so the way it played out this week, maybe that gives a bit of hope that they can try to take care of this quickly and swiftly and sort of without fanfare. But again, as you point out, it's Congress and they're not very good at that.
All right. Let's cross our fingers and let's try to stay optimistic over the holidays.
Okay, I'll make that my New Year's resolution.
All right. That's a great idea. And my other advice to you is get off the hill as quickly as you can now that you can.